Welcome to the Good Shepherd and the Child podcast, where we explore the spirituality of the Christian child through the method of catechesis of the Good Shepherd. I am your host, Carrie Mecki Lozano. Today, we have a very different podcast episode for you. We are very blessed to share with you a reflection on the parable of the Good Shepherd, led by Rebecca Roitsevich. She has prepared this just for our listeners. In this episode, we desire for you to listen deeply with your heart for the call of the Good Shepherd, especially during the season of Easter. Let us listen to this parable found in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The sheep of the Good Shepherd listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
In the church, we will soon be celebrating Good Shepherd Sunday, and there's nothing I like to talk about more than the Good Shepherd. But why does the church choose to focus on the Good Shepherd during the weeks of Easter? I've never asked the church powers that be about that, but I'm guessing it's because the parable of the Good Shepherd in John's Gospel is a quintessential Paschal parable. And what do we mean by that? The heart of the Paschal mystery is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus, the Son, the Good Shepherd, in turn tells us, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Although certainly the crucifixion is the ultimate giving of his life, with every breath he took, with every movement of his brief ministry, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was giving his life for his sheep. And that is never and will never end. He gives himself to us constantly through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have received in our baptism. And he gives himself in a most particular and concrete way in the Eucharist. He tells us in the John 10 parable that he's very close to us. Just as he is close to the Father, and the Father is close to him. He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. He doesn't only know and call us by our name. He knows what we like and dislike, what excites us and brings us to life, and what we are afraid of, or find difficult to confront. He knows all our strengths and talents, as well as our weaknesses and wounds. In the parable of the found sheep in Luke 15, he further clarifies how well he knows us and how much he loves us. If one of his sheep gets lost, he knows it right away. He doesn't need to count his sheep to know that one is missing. I love the responses of young children when I have said to them, upon realizing that one of his sheep is missing, would he say, "Oh, it's been such a long day, and I'm so tired, and I need to rest, but first thing in the morning, I'll definitely go search for my missing sheep." Instantly, the children shake their heads, no. They know he wouldn't want to waste a minute before starting the search. And when he finds the sheep, they also know he wouldn't scold the sheep. He's too relieved and happy to do anything but put the tired sheep on his shoulders and bring it home to the sheepfold. I especially love the young child's wisdom as to what happens next. After placing the found sheep back in the sheepfold, I pause and ask, what do you think he would say and do now that his sheep is back home? Would he say, "Oh, thank goodness that job is done, and I can finally go to bed"? A favorite response came from 5-year-old Chelsea many years ago. I saw her shaking her head. "No," she said, "he would just look at his found sheep all night. He's going out to call together his friends and neighbors to rejoice with him," makes perfect sense to the young child. He's simply too happy to keep it to himself. As adults, I think we need to ask ourselves, how reciprocal is this relationship he has with us? How closely have we examined this gift of his love and the life to the full he came to bring us? How well do we really know him? Do we only know what we were taught about him by our parents, priest, and catechists when we were young? Is our knowledge of him continuing to grow? In the Bible, the term knowledge, or to know, does not simply mean having a storehouse of information. Rather, these terms connote intimacy, being in a close interpersonal relationship. And of all the different sorts of relationships, which sort did Jesus rank as highest? Which sort of relationship was the one he most wanted to have with us? We find the answer to this question in chapters 13 to 17 of John's Gospel, which he reveals to us at the most momentous time of his life, the night before he is to die on the cross. It's the last time he will be with all his closest disciples before his death. So every word he says and everything he does becomes profoundly intensified in meaning. He washes their feet. He shares his grief over his imminent betrayal. He offers them a new understanding of the mystery of himself and of our relationship to him in the parable of the true vine. He offers them the greatest solace in the promise of the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which, although they probably were incapable in that moment of realizing, that would be an even greater gift than having him physically present among them. And he clarifies the sort of relationship he wants with them. In John 15, verses 13 to 15, he says, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." He wants to be friends with us. Friends choose one another. Friends delight in one another. Friends want to please one another. And friends want to go on having new adventures together and always growing closer. We say in the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd that the youngest children bring us to the greatest realities. They are truly satisfied only by the greatest mysteries. And it is they who have shown us that the level of relationship they have with the Good Shepherd is that of friendship. It took Sophia and Jana and their collaborators over 20 years to discover this. For a very long time, they assumed that the attraction of the young child to the Good Shepherd was largely because of their need for security and protection. But eventually, their eyes were opened to the higher level of relationship the children were expressing in their comments and artwork, that of friendship. A relationship between two parties who are kindred spirits, two partners who choose each other and delight in each other. One has only to study figure 11 in the first volume of The Religious Potential of the Child to see this. In this drawing, besides a profusion of yellow, which art psychologists note is the color of joy for the young child, along with the feature of the sheep having name tags, there is a profound revelation in the face of the shepherd. His joy matches the joy of the sheep around his shoulders, which has a look of dizzy bliss. Of course, we know Jesus is many other things besides our friend. The Bible tells us he is the Savior, the great healer, the greatest teacher, the Redeemer, and above all, the Son of God. As the children grow up in the atrium, all of these different aspects of the mystery of Christ will come into sharper view. But the youngest children are perhaps teaching us that his friendship is the most precious gift of all, and that there is nothing more important than contemplating and enjoying him and becoming more and more like him. In our work, in the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, we are always searching for the heart of the matter, the most essential elements of faith, the very greatest realities, as Sophia put it. What the doctors of the church called the vital nucleus. We seek to offer that vital nucleus in the simplest, most objective manner possible to the youngest children, and then to accompany them as they grow and their knowledge and experience of these realities expands. The Good Shepherd is the most deeply satisfying face of God for the youngest children. That face expands as the children grow and new needs and capacities emerge in them. The Good Shepherd is never outgrown, but continues to be the friend and helper who is needed at every stage of development. I offer here an excerpt from the second volume of The Joyful Journey, which is due for publication in late 2020. It's a personal meditation, which is intended to reflect how the Good Shepherd accompanies the child in the level 1 atrium and all the way through the level 3 atrium. Level 1. Who are you, Lord? Who am I? Who are we together? In the Bible, Jesus tells us he's the Good Shepherd. What makes him so good? He knows and calls his sheep by their own name. He gives his whole self for his sheep, all his time, all his most attentive care, because he loves them so much. His sheep listen to his voice. They follow him because they love and trust him. How fortunate his sheep are to have such a good and loving shepherd. I wonder who his sheep could be. If one of his sheep gets lost, he would know it immediately, and he would search for it until he finds it. He would joyfully take it on his shoulders and bring it home to the sheepfold. He is so happy to have his sheep back that he invites his friends and neighbors to celebrate with him. Again, I wonder who these sheep could be who are so known and so loved by Jesus, their Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I like you, and I know you like me. We are the best of friends, and I get it now. We are the sheep you are talking about. When I was baptized, I was marked by the sign of the cross as belonging to you, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I entered your sheepfold, the church. I know the Good Shepherd is always with his sheep, always giving himself to us. But I know, too, that there is a most particular moment and way that he's with us and giving himself to us. It's when we gather around the altar table in church, isn't it? When the Good Shepherd becomes present as bread and wine. The priest speaks for Jesus. I hear Jesus saying what the bread and wine really are. This is my body. This is my blood. The Good Shepherd calls us by name to come to this most special encounter with him. He feeds us with his very self. Level 2. The Good Shepherd loves his sheep so much that he steps forward to confront the wolf, evil, and he dies on the cross. But he's risen, and this means the Good Shepherd remains with us at all times to lead us in right paths and protect us from evil. The life to the full he came to bring us means his life, risen life, eternal life. And even though I walk through the dark valley, I will fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff give me courage. I know too now that when I meet the Good Shepherd in the Eucharist, I am united not just with him, but also with my fellow sheep around the altar table. And not only these sheep, but I'm united with all his sheep, far and wide, even those who are already with him in heaven. Level 3. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, what a great sacrifice you have made for me, for all of us. I want to be more like you. You lead the way. You model for me what it means to love others as you have loved us. Your power is the power of love. You are constantly with me to mentor me in the challenges of love, like loving my enemies and praying for those who persecute me. Now I understand what you meant when you said that someday there would be one flock and one shepherd. That someday is the parousia, isn't it? Thank you for entrusting me with the task of helping you bring that about. The youngest children have already shown us the one-liner from Psalm 23 that sums it all up. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. May the children show us the way to a deeper friendship with our Lord and Good Shepherd. Amen.
Thank you for listening. As Rebecca said, the children have a profound connection with the image of the Good Shepherd for Jesus. And it is this connection that brought us to our name, Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. It was the children who chose the Good Shepherd parable. Their choice is like that of the first Christians that you can see in the catacombs in Rome. There is the image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and it is the most commonly used representation of Christ. For over 60 years, it is the children who have looked to follow the voice of their Good Shepherd. And that is why we call ourselves the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. If you would like to learn more about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, please go to cgsusa.org. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We would love for you to join us again in 2 weeks. Go and fall more deeply in love with God.